Today's daf is Sukkot Daf Lamed Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Mr. Josh Graff in the Lekavot the yard site of his mother, Shifra Braina Bas Rav Moshe, whose yard site is today in Neshama Shlev and Aliyah. And we thank Josh Graff very much for the sponsorship. So again, today we're learning Daf Lamed Aleph. The primary topic at the beginning of the daf is about a sukkah gzula. If one steals a sukkah, if they're yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah, the Gemara is going to tell the story of a woman who complained that the Reish Galusa stole the wood that they used for their sukkah from her. The Gemara is going to talk about the concept of takanas marish, that if you steal material and then you build it into a building, so you don't have to pay back the material, you could just pay back the value of the material, and how that applies to sukkah. Then the rest of the daf is going to be a conversation about an assertion that Rava has, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, that an esrog has to be hadar, but a lulav doesn't have to be hadar. So first we're going to have two attempted rayas that a lulav does have to be hadar. We're going to reject both of those rayas. Then we're going to have two proofs that Rabbi Yehuda holds that an esrog does not need to be hadar, and we're actually going to accept one of those, the second of those rayas. So we're going to conclude that Rabbi Yehuda holds an esrog does not need to be hadar. So then the Gemara is going to discuss derech agav about adding an extra min and replacing an esrog with another fruit if you don't have any esrogim. But then it's going to go back to bring four other proofs that Rabbi Yehuda does require an esrog to be hadar and rejects each of those proofs. So it's all about whether Rabbi Yehuda requires a lulav / esrog to be hadar. So essentially two topics. We have the topic of a stolen sukkah, and we have the topic of whether lulav / esrog requires hadar according to the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So we left off on the top of Daf Lamed Aleph, two lines from the top. Tanu Rabbanan, says the Braisa, sukkah gzula, if a person has a stolen sukkah, v'amesakich b'rishus rabim, or someone is mesakich in rishus rabim, meaning he doesn't own the land that he's being mesakich on, Rabbi Lazar posel v'cham makshirin. Rabbi Lazar says it's puzzle, and the Chacham say that it's going to be kosher when he steals a sukkah or is misakich in Rosh Hashanah. Rav Yosef Engel and Lekach Tov and Klal Yud Beis says, wait a second, all the psulei sukkah usually are said about the schach and not the defanos and not the karka. So if the karka is sukkah gzula, is going to pasul mishum. So why is it that the karka is going to pasul as a sukkah gzula mishum lecha? Meaning even according to Rav Lazar that the sukkah needs to belong to you, but that's the sukkah, the karka needs to belong to you. So he explains that even though the pasuk the chaman said the pasuk chaga sukkos tasa lecha to be about the asiyas hasukkah, but ain't a mikriyotzi midei pshuto, that it's going on the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. So if the yeshiva b'sukkah itself is a maisa gzela, you have no right to be there, it's land that doesn't belong to you, so then it's going to be considered a sukkah psula. That's Rav Yosef Engel's mechadish, even though it's not a din in the chefza shel sukkah, because there's nothing about the chefza shel sukkah that's possible, but the maisa yeshiva b'sukkah is what possibles. Rav Moshe has a little bit of a different take. In Igros Moshe, in Arachayim Chelik Aleph Sim Kuf Pei Aleph, he writes that the karka in Achinami is not bechlal the mitzvah of sukkah, but since without the karka there's no mitzius of a sukkah, there's no way the sukkah would be able to stand without the karka, so the karka is a din of a maimid. So he says, what you see from this Gemara is that the entire asiyas sukkah is begezel, because the whole thing that's holding the sukkah up is stolen. So that's certainly included in the pasuk of tasalcha mishalcha, that the asiyah has to be mishalcha. The actual making of the sukkah has to be done in such a way where you're not violating anything. So he says, based on that, let's say a person has nails that hold together the walls of his sukkah, and without those nails, the walls wouldn't stand. But those nails are stolen, so he says that's also a problem with sukkah gzula, even though everything that he's surrounded by is not stolen material, but that would be enough to cause a problem of sukkah gzula. So we said, but the Chum makshir and the Chum think that it's not a problem. So the Ritva asked B'Shem Tosos, he says, why are you yotze with that sukkah? According to the Chumim, if you're tokif chaveru and you let's actually see what the svara for each one is before we get into further discussion. So it says, Mar Amrav Nach Machlokas B'Shem Tokif Es Chaveru V'Tziyom Misukaso. What does it mean that it's a sukkah gzula? The whole machlokes of Blazan the Chum is talking about where you go into somebody else's sukkah, you grab him and you throw him out of his sukkah, and you take over the sukkah, you commandeer the sukkah. So Blazan the Tamei, so this is Blazan the Shitaso, Damer Einod Miyotze Yidei Chavaso, Bezukaso, Shel Chavero, that Blazan holds that a person cannot be yotze with somebody else's sukkah. So Ikarka Nigzeles Sukkah Gzulahi. If Yolda Karka can be stolen, so then it's a sukkah gzula. Vinami Karka Einod Nigzeles. house. And even if the karka cannot be stolen, sukkah she'ulahi, it's at the very least, it's a borrowed sukkah, it's not yours. And Rav Elazar holds the sukkah needs to be yours. For Rabbanon l'tamayu, and it's Rabbanon l'shitasam, damri adam yotzi dechavasu b'sukkasu shal chavero. The Rabbanon hold that a person can be yotze with somebody else's sukkah. The karka ain't an exelis, and karka cannot be stolen, the sukkah she'ulahi. And therefore it is a sukkah she'ulah, it is a borrowed sukkah. So that's the machlokas. However, avol gazel eitzim v'sikich behen, if a person just steals wood and uses that wood as schach, divrei akol ein lo ela d'mei eitzim. Everyone would agree that one is yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah, but you do owe the money for the wood that you stole. Mima, and Rashi explains that this is either based on that pashtus. This is based on takanas marish. That if that we have a takana that the Gemara is going to discuss, that when you steal building material and then you put it into a building, so in order to make it easier for a person to tshuva, that he shouldn't have to rip apart the entire building, the Chacham made a takana that you only have to pay back the value of the item that you stole. Or the other possibility is that you were kona it already bishunei ma'isa v'shinui hashem. It's no longer wood. Now it's a sukkah. And it's a shina meisa. Now it's built into the structure. So that's why you only have to pay back the demei eitzim. So if you steal the wood and you use it as the as sukkah building material, everyone would agree that you only have to pay back the value. Mi mai. So says the Gemara, how do I know the first part of what we just said? As Rashi points out, the begzelas karka pligi ubetayma de sheula, that the whole machlokas about a sukkah gzula is when you go into somebody's sukkah and you throw him out of his own sukkah. And the whole question is, does the sukkah need to belong to you or not? From the fact that it juxtaposes two halachos, a sukkah gzula and someone who's mesakech b'rishus rabim. So it must be that these two things are similar to each other. In what way are they similar to each other? Marishus rabim karka lav didehu, sukkanami karka lav karka didehu. Just like rishus rabim by definition is not his karka, so too the sukkah by definition is not his karka. The karka does not belong to him. So the Ritva raises the question, B'Shem Tosos, why is it that we said the Chamar Machshirin? What's the case? You went into the guy's sukkah, you chucked him out of his sukkah, and you took over the sukkah. The Chamar say that's kosher. Why is it that you yotze in such a sukkah? When you grab the guy out, isn't that a mitzvah baba vera? By doing the mitzvah only through mugging this fellow and chucking him out of his sukkah, so l'chora, that's a mitzvah baba vera. So Tosus says that no, we only say psul mitzvah baba vera by a davar habal l'ratzos. This is what we mentioned yesterday, that it's only when it's something that relates to tefillah or a karban or something that's a ritzui l'fnei Hashem. That's what the Ritva quotes from the Bali HaTosos. It's not the same that we saw in Tosos, that our Tosos has, but that's what the Ritva quotes from the Bali HaTosos. Many Rishonim quote from the Bali HaTosos, that mitzvah baba vera only applies to mitzvos of ritzui. But the Ritva says that can't be, because Yerushalmi passels matzah shel tevel and matzah gezula misha mitzvah baba vera. So that's not something that's bala ratzos. So it has to be that it's beyond mitzvos that are bala ratzos. So says the Ritva, no, the difference is that since this sukkah, you're not kona at all, and it remains b'rishos habaylim, so the mitzvah is not motzi it from the rishos habaylim. It's not considered to be a mitzvah baba vera. It's like having a sada gezula me'alma b'rishuso. You have a stolen field in your possession that even though it's navera, what you're doing is navera, the sukkah does not become nifsal in that way. So what does that mean? Why would that be the case? So this is what we were pointing out yesterday, that the Ritva's Shita, apparently Reb Chaim explains, the Ritva's Shita is that mitzvah baba vera means that the cheftza shel avera you try to use as a cheftza shel mitzvah. But it only is considered mitzvah baba vera if what you're trying to use as a cheftza shel mitzvah is already labeled a cheftza shel avera. So, but if a person does an avera, and al yedei the avera, he's able to do the mitzvah, it's not enough. It has to be a din in the cheftza, that the same cheftza shel avera cannot be used for a cheftza shel mitzvah. So once the chum hold that karka in an exelas, meaning the gazlan has no kinyani gezela in that karka, so it's not a cheftza shel avera. He did a maisa avera by mugging this person and throwing him out of the sukkah, but if karka in an exelas, the karka is not a cheftza shel avera. Mela, you're not going to apply the whole concept of mitzvah Baveira to this case. That's how Reb Chaim understands the Shita of the Ritva. So the Gemara says further now a story. The Gemara tells us that Safta, there was an elderly woman that came to Rav Nachman and she complained. That the Reish Galusa and all the Rabban of the Reish Galusa are sitting in a stolen sukkah. They stole my sukkah from me. They stole not my sukkah, they stole wood from me, they stole materials from me, and they're sitting in a sukkah that was built with stolen materials. So Tzavcha v'lo ashkach by Rav Nachman. She's crying out the whole time, and she's kvetching the whole time, and Rav Nachman didn't pay any attention to her. So Amrelei, so she said to him, Itza da'avaz le'la'avua, tlasmeh v'timni s'ray avdi, Tzavcha k'maycha v'lo ashkach yisuba, a woman whose father had 318 servants, and is crying in front of you, and you're not listening to her? Meaning I'm a Bas Avram Avinu. How could you not listen to Abbas Avram Avinu, who's crying in front of you? Where's the covered? Where's the covered for Benos Yisrael? Rav Nachman said this woman is excessively loud. She's complaining too much. All she deserves is a Dmei Eitzim. So this does not sound like Rav Nachman is. It does not. The Pasha reading the story does not paint Rav Nachman in the most sensitive way. It doesn't seem that he's the most caring and sensitive person to this Bas Shel Avram Avinu. So there are a few different explanations of what in the world is going on in this story. The Ksav Sofer is quoted here in the Masifta from the Ksav Sofer on Mitzvah Baba Avera Os Tezayin. I'm not sure where that is, but the Ksav Sofer explains that the Taina of the Safta is based on the Gemara that we're about to say in a moment, that the Havamina, that only by Eitzim, we would say Takanas Marish, because Eitzim are Shchiach. It's very easy to replace Eitzim. And Rashi says that it's easy for someone who was stolen from to find other Eitzim to take their place. So there's makom to say that when there's Toreach ala Nigzal, that when the person who's going to get paid back with money instead of with their material is going to have to go out of their way and work very hard in order to be able to replace the material that was stolen from them, maybe there is no din of Takanas Marish. Maybe then, you know, the person who stole it cannot just pay the money and will have to rip apart their whole house or their whole building and pay back the actual material. So he says that was the taina of the Safta. She was saying, I'm a Bas Shel Avram Avinu. So granted, you give a normal person money and they'll be able to go and buy more beams, more wood, whatever it was that was stolen from them, and that's fine. They're not going to have too much trouble doing that. But Bas Malachim should have to be Tareach to go to Home Depot and start cutting lumber. That's not Bekavadik for a Bas Avram Avinu. She should have to go out into the Shuk. What happened to Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima? What happened to a sense of Tzniyus? So Rav Nachman says, yeah, but you're sitting here screaming like a lunatic. What happened to your sense of Tzniyus? This woman is obviously not so concerned with her sense of Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima. And Achinami, if she was, then maybe Takanas Marish wouldn't apply to her. But because she's revealing right now that she's not so concerned about Kol Kvud Bas Melech Panima, so therefore the Takanas Marish will apply to her, and they will only owe her the value of the wood. And that's what Ksav Sofer says. What's the word bilvad? In lel dmei etzim bilvad, as opposed to what? What else would they owe her besides for the dmei etzim? Why is it only bilvad? So why? What's the lashon bilvad? So Ksav Sofer says because if it were a woman who's taka kol kvud bas melech panima, where she's a bas of Rama Avinu and acts b'derech tzrius, you'd have to pay for a shliach to go to Home Depot for her. I'm not advertising Home Depot or Lowe's or anywhere to go and find the wood to be able to purchase it for her. But since she's showing this lack of sensitivity to that issue, so all she's going to get is the Dmei Eitzim. They quote from Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky a different pshat based on Ritva. The Ritva says that if a person is Toveya B'toch Yimei HaChag, then you can give him the money even after Yantif. That we're going to see that Takanas Marish applies to a sukkah only during Sukkot, not after Sukkot. So it depends when she asks for her money back, when she asks for her wood back. If she would ask for her wood after Sukkot, the guy would have to rip apart the sukkah and give her wood. But if she asks for it during Sukkot, then he's going to have to only give her money. Where even if he asked for, if she asked for it during Sukkot and he doesn't pay it back until after Sukkot, still she's only going to get the money. She's not going to get the wood. We don't make the guy rip apart the Sukkot. That's the Chiddush of the Ritva. That last part is the Chiddush of the Ritva. So says Dayan Abramsky, the Reb Nachman was trying to tell her, keep quiet. It's in your best interest to wait a few days. Wait till Sukkot is over and then ask for it. But Poseida, Ein Lehel Dmeitz and Bavad, she won't shut up. She won't stop. So if she's going to kvetch now and she's going to be Toveh the money now, so then all she's going to get is the Dmei Eitzim. That's how Dayan Abramsky explained this Gemara. Amravina, haik shuru de metalal to the gezula, avdi rabbanu takanta mishum takaras marish. If you have a stolen beam that was built into the sukkah, so the rabbanu made a takaras marish. So says Mar Pshita, maishna meitzim. Of course, why would it be any different than any other wood that you build into any other structure? So says Mar maldatema eitzim shchichi. I would say wood is shchiach, aval haylo shchicha, but maybe a beam is not as shkiach, it's not as easy to find and to replace. A malo, I would think there's no takanas marish. Come Ashmulan, comes tell me that yes, there is. But this whole din of takanas marish, that as it applies to sukkah, hani mili bego shiva, avalabasa shiva hadabene. That's only during the 7 days of sukkahs, but once the 7 days of sukkahs are over, then you have to return the beam as is, then there is no longer a takanas marish. Rav Salvechik raises the question in Harei Kedem Simur Kuf Zayin, that this idea that there's a difference between during Sukkot and after Sukkot is L'chor Tzara Chiyun, that if you have to return the beam after Sukkot is over anyway, so obviously you don't have a full kinyan on the beam, because you have to return it. It doesn't belong to you. So L'chor it still has a shame gzela on it. So why is this Sukkah okay? Shouldn't it be possible Mishum Mitzvah Abba Ba'Avera? If the beam is still a stolen beam, we're still going to make you return it after Yantif. So L'chor it's a Mitzvah Abba Ba'Avera. So why is it okay to be yotze the mitzvah with such a sukkah? So he says what emerges from this gemara is that the psul of sukkah gzula and the psul of mitzvah babavera is not chal simply because the sukkah has a shem gzela. No, it's that the hishtamshus begzela le mitzvah the sukkah is a hishtamshus shel gezel. The usage of the stolen item for the mitzvah of sukkah is a usage of gezel. That there's an isra gzela in the going in that sukkah and using that sukkah. That's what it means, mitzvah babavera. That's what sukkah gzula means. That's how we would label a sukkah gzula. So by the marish, since the chachamim give the person the right of hishtamshus in this beam for 7 days of sukkahs, even though in a chinami, he doesn't have kinyanic gzela in the beam. He's going to have to return it after sukkahs is over. So it is gzula, it is stolen. But zuchus hishtamshus, that he has, he's allowed to use the item, he's permitted to use the beam. That's a special takanas chachamim. So mele, it's not going to be mitzvah babavera, it's not going to be a sukkah gzula. This is somewhat similar to what we said before from Rav Yosef Engel, the idea of the karka being an issue with sukkah gzula is because it's the hishtamshus. The hishtamshus is a problem. It's not only a din in the chefza shel sukkah, because in a chinami, karka is not chefza shel sukkah. It would be a big chiddush to say karka is a chefza shel sukkah, but it's the hishtamshus of the karka that's problematic. So this fits very nicely with that comment from Rav Yosef Engel about the definition of mitzvah babavera as it relates to a stolen sukkah. But the Gemara says, v'chibru betina, if let's say, even though we make this chilik between during sukkahs and after sukkahs, but if you attached it, if you attach that beam into the sukkah with cement, then afilu lachar shevenami yav ledami. Then even after sukkahs, you only have to give back the money. Person who stole that beam does not have to rip apart the building and rip apart all the cement and give him the beam back. Then you would only have to give back the money. Period. That concludes the first topic of today's daf, which again, topic number one was stolen sukkah. Topic number two is all about whether a lulav and an esrog need to be hadar. Is there a that a lulav and an esrog have to be beautiful? So Tana Yavish Pasul, our Mishnah said that a dried out lulav is pasul. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, but Rabbi Yehuda held that a dried out lulav is kosher. Amar Rava Machlokes Belulav. So Rava comments that this whole machlokas is only by a lulav. The Rabbanan Savri makshin a lulav le'esrog. The Rabbanan hold that we compare lulav to an esrog, and therefore ma esrog bay hadar af lulav bay hadar. Just like an esrog has to be hadar, because it says it in the pasuk pri eitz hadar. That's what it says beferish by esrog. So lulav we compare it to esrog as well. There's a hekish in the pasuk. What's the hekish? It said it's all in the same pasuk. So it says it all together right after. It says kapos tamar, it says lulav, and then it says nafetz avos hadasim avri nachal, which is aravos. So clearly refers to links all of them together in the pasuk. So that's what the rabbanon holds. So just like esrog has a din of hadar, so too lulav. Rabbi Yehuda savar lo makshin lulav esrog. Rabbi Yehuda says no, there's no hekish between lulav and esrog. Esrog has to be hadar, not lulav. Alba esrog divrei akol hadar b'inan. When it comes to esrog, even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that it needs to be hadar. That's straight in the pasuk pre eitz hadar. So even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that it needs to be hadar. The Pnei Yeshua raises the question: and what about hadasim and aravos? We said the machlokas is belulav. Why do we say the machlokas is also by hadasim and aravos? The chorot say machlokas. If we compare lulav to esrog, we would also compare hadasim by aravos to esrog. They're all in the same pasuk. So why doesn't he mention hadasim and aravos? So the pasuk pshat is like the Aruch Haner says that we always refer to the lulav. Meaning when we refer to the lulav hadasim and aravos, we call it lulav. What's the bracha we make on the tilas lulav? The lulav is the biggest one. It sticks out above the rest. So when a lot of times when we refer to lulav, we mean hadasim and aravos as well. But the Pnei Yeshua suggests that it could be that hadas and arava that are dry, a person would not be yotzei, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't need hadar, because there's a different psul. When hadas and aravas dry out, forget about whether it's hadar or not. Even if you don't require hadar, but it's the leaves fall off extremely easily when they're dried out. So it could be kitusei mechta shiuri, it's nefrachim bitziporin. You just flick it, and the leaves will come right off. So that might be a psul of yavish by hadas and aravas, even if it were not an issue of hadar. Now there's a critical machlokas Rashi and Tosos right here. We said Rabbi Yehuda holds that we do not make a hekesh between lulav and esrog. So there's a shas machlokas right here. The third wide line of Rashi says Rashi lo makshinan lo hukshu lilmod zemizeh velo nitan lidrosh meatzma mikol yud gimel midos shatar nresh ben el akal v'chomer. That there is no hekesh that we are aware of, and you can't make up a hekesh. You can't say, oh, it looks like a hekesh to me, because the only one of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben that a person is allowed to make up on his own, that we're allowed to innovate, is a Kal V'Chomer. A Kal V'Chomer is purely logical, so a person who has a logical mind, who's able to, a clear and logical mind, is able to decide on a Kal V'Chomer. I think Rav Shechter once told me that they once asked Rav Salvechik, once said an interesting Psak Halacha. They said, what's your source? He said, a clear and logical mind. That's the source. So if you have a Kal V'Chomer, something that's very clear, very logical, that you're allowed to be done on your own. But a Gzeirah Shavah, something that you that makes no sense whatsoever. There's a word here, a word there, so I'm going to link these two parshios, and all of a sudden the halachas are going to apply from one parsha to another. That you need a Mesora from Moshe Misinai, that you can't have, you can't decide on your own. Kal V'Chomer is the only one you could decide on your own. So says Tosfos in Dibra Masvah, Bidusav Lomakshin Lulvastrog, a few lines in, V'teima Gadola Perushada, Filu Smuchin, Dainu Shnei Mekros HaSmuchin Zelizen in Lidrash Min HaTorah, Kedarmin Brei Shivama Smuchin Min HaTorah Minayin Shnei Smuchin Ladli Olam Asuyim Be'emes V'yashar Kol Shkei Nekesha Dainu Shnei Dvar Mekashim Pasuk Echad. You're even allowed to darshan Smuchim, which is two Pesukim next to each other, for sure a Hekesh, which is two things in the same Pasuk, you're allowed to darshan. V'afilu Rabbi Yehuda D'lo Dorsh Smuchin, and even if you're holding, you're not allowed to darshan Smuchin, Eleich D'muchach U'mufna, unless it's absolutely clear that it's meant to be darshan. Kedamrin and Hassam, Mikol Makom Be'akesha Moda, but everyone agrees that you're allowed to darshan a hekesh because it's in the same pasuk. Ella, rather, Tulsa says, here's the rule: Kol Amidos Adam Don Me'atzmo Chutz Migzera Shava. All of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben, you're allowed to do on your own, except for the most illogical of all of them, which is a Gzeirah Shavah. But all of the rest, Klal Prado Klal, all of the other Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah and Drashas Ben, one is allowed to make on his own without having a Mesorah from his Rebbein. De'ein Dan Elam Kein Lamda Mirabo. It's only Gzeirah Shavah that you need a Kabbalah. V'acha B'Svara Pligi. Over here, the Machlokas is about Svara. De'esh Drom Shein La'kishim Lo Sadav. V'Shem HaKasav. V'Lo Shayach Lashon Adar. held Peres. It's not about whether there's a Mesorah in the Hekish or you don't have a Mesorah for this Hekish. That's how Rashi understood, that they can't be deciding whether to make a Hekish or not. There's no decisions to make a Hekish. It's all a Mesorah. The only thing you can decide is whether to make a Kal V'chomer. Tosfos says you can make a decision whether to make a Hekish. And that's what they're arguing about. They're arguing about whether to decide to make a Hekish in this instance. The Sefer Yavin Shmur, Rav Shaftu quotes in Ginas Egos in the footnote in Sim Mem Aleph, that in Sefer Yavin Shmur he says that Rashi never could have said that. Rashi only meant this Alibid Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi's din over here that only Kal V'chomer, it's the only one you could be done Me'atzmo, that's only Alibid Rabbi Yehuda, but the Rabbanon who are Cholik on Rabbi Yehuda hold Kol Amidos Adam Don Me'atzmo. Meaning, the way he understands Rashi is that it's not a machlokas whether they have a Mesorah, that the Rabbanon didn't have a Mesorah and Rabbi Yehuda did it. That's not the issue over here, whether there was a Masorah to make this Hekish. It's according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda didn't have this Hekish because according to Rabbi Yehuda you need a Masorah, and according to the Rabbanan they did have this Hekish because they hold you don't need a Masorah. So it's not an issue of whether they had a Masorah or not. No, they didn't have a Masorah. The Rabbanan hold you don't need a Masorah. A person can be done Me'atzmo, all the Yud Gemamidos except for Gzeir Shavu like Tol says, even Rashi would agree that's the Shita of the Chachamim and Chachamim Kaimelon. We paskin like the Shita of the Chachamim. Rav Shachtarok also quotes from Rabbeinu Hirsch that he got very upset at Professor Gretz, who said that Hill and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai were Mechadish Midos, the Midos Shatar and Dreshben, and all the Dinim of Torah Shabal Peh, Yesh Me'ayin, which is obviously apikorsis, to say that they were Mechadish, all the Dinim of Torah Shabal Peh on their own. So Rabbeinu Hirsch said that he's completely the opposite. He says like that he holds like the Ashita that the Rambam quotes and rejects, that all the halachos were a Kabbalah, that every single halacha that we had was a Kabbalah, and the whole idea of the Midos Shatar and Dreshben is livdoku lahavchin, is to see whether our Kabbalah and our Mesorah is accurate, it's to make sure that the Kabbalah is accurate. But every halacha starts with the Kabbalah. It's not that the Chachamim used the Midos Shatar and Dreshben to be mechadesh halacha. No, the halachos were all there beforehand. No one was ever mechadesh anything. That's not how the Rambam understands. The Rambam refers to it to things that are derived from the Yud Gimel Shatar and Dreshben as Divrei Sofrim sometimes. How could he call that Divrei Sofrim? These are Dinim D'Oraisa. Yeah, they're Dinim D'Oraisa, but they're Dinim D'Oraisa that the Rabbanan are Mechadish using the Yud Gimel Shatar and Dreshben. There are halachos that we have as Kabbalah. That's halachal Moshe Misinai. We have as Kabbalah. You can never have a machlokas halachal Moshe Misinai. There are Perushim HaMukubalim Moshe Misinai. How do I know Priyetz Hadar means an Esrog? So those things we have a Kabbalah for. But that which we use the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Dreshben in order to learn, the Rambam holds that is not a Kabbalah. We have the Yud Gimel Midos and we have to apply the Yud Gimel Midos in order to figure out what the halacha is. And when we do figure out what the halacha is based on the Yud Gimel Midos Shatar and Dreshben, so that's a chiddush in halacha, and that's what the Rambam refers to all the time as Divrei Sofrim, even though these are in fact dinim da'oraisa. Okay, so that's the major machlokas about the Midos Shatar and Dreshben over here. But the bottom line in terms of our sugya, Masechah Sukkah, is that Rava was mechadesh, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, an esrog has to be hadar, but not a lulav. A lulav does not have to be hadar. So first we're going to pick up on that second part, that a lulav does not have to be hadar. And the Gemara is going to have two attempted proofs that a lulav does have to be hadar, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So proof number one, uba lulav lo bai Rabbi Yehuda hadar? Does Rabbi Yehuda not require a lulav to be hadar? Vatnan, Rabbi Yehuda amar yagdenu milamala. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say you should tie the leaves together on top if the leaves are being spread out? You should tie them together on top. My time, why would you have to do that? Lav mishum dabai hadar? Isn't it because Rabbi Yehuda requires that a lulav be hadar? Lo, says Gemara, no, it's nothing to do with that. Kedukatani time, Rabbi Dom, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Tarfon, kapos tamarim. He reads kapos tamarim as tied, kafos, that if they are scattered about, yichavtenu, you should tie them together. But it's not about hadar, he just reads that that's the taich of the word, kapos, it means to tie it together, nothing to do with hadar. So second challenge though, velobai hadar, really does Rabbi Yehuda not hold of hadar? Vatnan, we have another Mishnah, ein ogdin es halulav el bimino div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds the only things that you're allowed to use to tie the lulav are parts of a dekel, parts of a palm tree itself. My time alav mishum dubai hadar. Why is it that you need to use the same items that the lulav is made from? Isn't it because it's nicer that way, that it looks nice when it's the same thing? So lo, dahama rava, afilu b'siva, afilu b'ikra t'dikla. No, you can even use the most nasty, disgusting parts of the palm tree to tie it together. It has nothing to do with beauty. Why is it that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need to tie using palm tree materials? Because he holds lulav tzarech eged. V'maisav mina achrina havlu chamisha minim. So if you were to bring another min, then it would be a fifth min in your lulav. The only way to make sure that you don't have a fifth min is by using palm branch material. So that was questioning the second half of Rava's statement. Now the first half of Rava's statement was that even Rabbi Yehuda would hold, it was really say he said it second, but okay, that even Rabbi Yehuda would hold that Esrog has to be Hadar, that everybody agrees that Esrog has to be Hadar. So Gemara is going to have two rayas that Rabbi Yehuda holds that Esrog does not have to be Hadar. So be Esrog mi bai Rabbi Yehuda Hadar? Does Rabbi Yehuda really require Hadar by an Esrog? Vatanya, we have a brisa, and we're going to have a lot to say about this brisa. It's going to take us on a little bit of a tangent, but the bottom line proof we're going to try to bring from this brisa is that Rabbi Yehuda holds an Esrog does not need to be Hadar. So what does the brisa say? Arbas minim shabululav kshem shem poksim ha'am kachin mosifin aleyan. Just like you're not allowed to take any less than dalad minim in the lulav, so too you're not allowed to add to the dalad minim of the lulav. Lo matza esrog, if a person cannot find an esrog, lo yavi lo parish lo rimon v'lo davar acher, you should not replace it with some other fruit. If you don't have an esrog, you don't have an esrog. Kumushin ksherin yevashin psulin. If you have withered or slightly dried or very dried out. If it's slightly dried out, it's kosher. If it's very dried out, it's pasul. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Yaveshin. Rabbi Yehuda says even Yavesh is kosher. That even that's okay. Rabbi Yehuda says in fact the Bnei Krachin used to bequeath their lulavim to their grandchildren. So how moist do you think their lulav could have been? It obviously was pretty Yavesh after generations. It obviously became Yavesh. I think Rav David Feinstein says when Rav Moshe lived in Luban that he used the same lulav for something like 5 or 6 years in a row, that he would say he would hang up his lulav in shul and use it the following year. Obviously lulav more and easy to come by, but he held that he made a bracha on it. He held that it didn't have a psul of yavesh. So what we define as yavesh, we've probably never seen a lulav that was yavesh on the market in the store. You know, people are always looking the color and whatever. It's very rare to find one that's actually yavesh. So Amru, if you leave it around for many years, you'll find, but rarely. So Amru lo misham raya ein shasal chak raya. So they said you can't bring a raya from the fact that they were morish the love to their grandchildren. It's a shasal chak is not a raya. But katani miyas. Bottom line is, what did this price say? The Rabbi Yehuda Omer af yevashin ksherin. Rabbi Yehuda said dry lulav are kosher. My lava, the dried things are kosher. My lava esrog. Isn't he talking about an esrog? And he holds that an esrog does not need to be out there. Says Merlo a lulav. No, he's talking about a lulav. He's not talking about an esrog. So, but an esrog has to be hadar. An esrog that's dried out would be no good. Amr Mar, once we're mentioning this brisa, so we have to mention a couple of side points that were brought up in the brisa before we bring our next proof that Rabbi Yehuda does not require an esrog to be hadar. So one side point that we brought up is k'shem shein pachsman kachin mosifin alein. The brisa said, guess what? Big news! Just like you're not allowed to do bal tigra, you're also not allowed to do bal tosif when it comes to the minim of the lulav. So pshita, of course, it's right there in the Torah. You're not allowed to do bal tigra or bal tosif. That's why it's bal tigra. So says Mar Mal de Tema Holvam Rabbi Yehuda Lulav Tzarech Eged B'Maisuminachrina Hayluchu Dekoy VaHayluchu Dekoyi. I might have thought that since Lulav Tzarech Eged in your Lulav bundle you have Lulav Hadas Min Aravos, whatever else you're holding at the same time is outside the bundle. So Hayluchu Dekoy VaHayluchu Dekoy, it's not considered to be Mosif onto the mitzvah because it's outside the bundle. So Kamash Mlan therefore comes to tell me that that's still a violation of Baltosif to take an extra min even if it's outside the bundle. Amr Mar, another strange thing the Brisa said is lo matza esrog lo yavi lo rimon v'lo parsh lo davar acher. That if you can't find an esrog, don't take an apple instead. Don't take a pomegranate instead of the esrog. So pshita, of course you're not supposed to take a pomegranate instead of the esrog. There's no mitzvah to take a pomegranate on the yontif of Sukkot. Why would I think you would do that? So says Amr Mar de tei malais kiyeches lo tishtach. I might think that you should take it so that people not forget Torah Esrog, that people not forget that there is a fourth min. Kamash Mlan therefore it tells me don't. don't do that. Zimnin to nafik churbin minei dasi lemisrach, that it's going to lead to something bad. People are going to come to think that when the Torah says pri etz hadar, it means a pomegranate, and even when they have a srogim available, they're going to continue to use pomegranates instead of using a srogim. So we don't want to take that kind of risk. The Ravid writes, quoted by the Rush over here in Simin Yadalit, that if someone does not have all four minim, let's say a person doesn't have an estrog, so he says, take whatever you have, and you don't have to worry that next year people are going to think that there are only three minim. So take the Lulav Hadas Menorovas. If you don't have an estrog, use that. So in Hilchus Lulav La Ravid, he brings a raya from our Gemara, that it says someone who doesn't have an estrog shouldn't take a rimon, let's say. So obviously we're talking about someone who does have a lulav, because if the guy didn't have a lulav, so why is he only worried Shalot Yishtachach Toras Estrog more than Toras Lulav? So obviously we're talking about a guy who has a lulav, and he wants to take with the lulav another fruit, a rimon. So we say, no, don't take that rimon. But you rather, what should you do? Apparently, what you should do, rather, is take the lulav on its own, and you don't have to worry that next year people are going to think that there are only three minim. Why? Why is it that if you take a rimon, we're worried that next year people are going to think that the rimon is one of the minim, but if you don't take anything in its place, in the esrog's place, we're not worried people are going to think there are only three minim? So yeah, because it says beferish in the Torah that there are four minim. So people aren't going to make that mistake. They can count. Pri etz hadar, kapos tamarim, naf etz avos, arvei nachlat. So it's very clear that there are four minim, but it's not so clear what they are. It says pri etz hadar, nice fruit. Rimon is a beautiful fruit, so that's much more likely that people are going to make the mistake with. So it turns out that if a person does not have the ability to be mekayim a mitzvah kedina, and he can only be mekayim a chelik of the mitzvah as a zecher bialma, so what he has to figure out is this mefurish in the Torah? Is this something that people will make a mistake in future years? Prima Gadim has an interesting discussion related to the sugya. If a person does not have a half hour's worth of oil for Ner Chanukah, should he use less than a half hour's worth of oil for Ner Chanukah? He doesn't have what it takes to do the mitzvah. So there's nothing that's going to be mefurish in the Torah, obviously, about Ner Chanukah, because the whole thing is a din d'rabban. I think in the end he says you should do it as a zecher bialma. You should light even less than a half hour worth of oil. Okay, so the Gemara says further. Now we're now going back to our rayas. About whether esrog needs to be hadar. So Tashma, second raya, that esrog according to Rabbi Yehuda does not need to be hadar. Esrog yashin pasul, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. And esrog yashin is pasul. The old esrog is pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda holds it doesn't have to be beautiful. Tiyufta d'Rava tiyufta. Yeah, checkmate. Rava's proven incorrect. Rabbi Yehuda clearly held that an esrog does not need to be hadar. So now the Gemara is going to say, what? An esrog does not need to be hadar? Four counterproofs that an esrog does need to be hadar according to Rabbi Yehuda. Number one, v'lo bay hadar v'anantanana yaroki karti rameir makshav Rabbi Yehuda posel. If the esrog is yaroki karti, it's green, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's pasul lav mishum d'bay hadar. Isn't that because it needs to be hadar? No, it's because it doesn't have a Gemara Pri. Tosav here points out that Yarok Hikarti is not the same as Yarok. When we say Yarok, that can mean yellow, gold, that kind of color. Yarok Hikarti means green. And whenever the Gemara has the term Yarok in general, don't assume it means green. The Mishnah Nida refers to Dam Yarok, to blood. As Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, there's no green blood. There isn't really green blood in the human species. You have yellowish discharge, and but green, like grass-colored green, you're very rarely going to find something that's mamish like that. You don't find Yarok Kikarti. Yarok means it's in the family of yellows and golds and greens. That's what Yarok means. When a baby is Yarok, the Tosefta says, the Gemara says, you don't do a mila. So the poskim discuss: is it only when he's yarok hikarti, when he's actually green? When you ever gonna see a baby that's green? No, it means that he has a yellowish complexion. That's yarok. Okay, so Tashma, the mekubalim are makbid to dafka take a green esrog. I think they say based on the Zohar to dafka take a green esrog. The question is: the Kabbalah against the halacha, or is there some medium green that's really the right kind of green? Okay, so Tashma shir esrog. Rabbi Yehuda's the minimum size of an esrog is the size of an egg, not the size of a nut. Lav mishum d'bayi hadar, isn't it because it needs to be sizable, because it needs to be beautiful? So don't you see Rabbi Yehuda requires hadar? Lo mishum d'lo gamar pira. No, Rabbi Yehuda just holds if it's small, smaller than the size of an egg, then it's not ripe yet. You need it to be a gemar pri, but nothing to do with hadar. Tashma, third raya. Ubegadol kdei sheyochas shnayim biyado achas to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds it could be so large that it has to be the largest size it could be is that you have to be able to hold two in one hand. That's the you don't actually have to hold two. That would right, but you have to be able to hold two in one hand. That's the largest size. Rabbi Yosi amar afilu echad b'shteyad. The Rabbi Yosi says it could even be abnormally large, where you need two hands to hold it. So my time lav mishum d'bayi hadar. Isn't Rabbi Yehuda saying that it needs to be that you can hold two in one hand because he holds it needs to be reasonably sized because that's more beautiful to have this oversized jumbo esrog looks ridiculous. It's not hadar. So says Malo kiven damer rabba lulav b'yamin esrog b'smol zimun mechalfilei vasilav uchinu vasilav sulei. No, the reason he holds that the largest size is to hold two in one hand is because sometimes you accidentally pick them up in the wrong hands and you're going to try to switch them. And if the esrog is too large, you'll drop it and you'll passle it. So we don't want you to drop it and passle it. That's why you have to have a reasonably sized esrog, but nothing to do with hadar. And then the final raya, the best raya. How could you say an esrog doesn't need to be hadar? The very definition of esrog in the Torah. Vel Rabbi Yehuda haksiv hadar. It says pre-eight hadar. So Rabbi Yehuda says you're reading it wrong. Hahu hadar bi ilano mishana lashana. It doesn't mean beautiful. It doesn't mean that it has to be hadar. It means that it's an esrog that is dar bi ilano that lives in the tree from 1 year till the next year. That's what it means. So at the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda Taka holds an esrog does not need to be hadar. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll pick up at the two dots. Be'ez Hashem tomorrow.